We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to the fourth Drasha, page Nun Dalit in the Shalem edition, Kuf Nun Aleph in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. And the Ran had been discussing the idea that when we're in the land of Israel, Hashem says, I could be in your midst. But in Chutz Laretz, then not. And the Ran had said that the idea is that the danger of annihilation, the danger of severe punishment from Hashem, was primarily because of the sin of idol worship. Other sins don't carry that weight. It's Avodah Zarah that aroused that wrath. And that sin is something that Hashem was more wary of in Chutz Laretz than in Israel. Yeah.
I had a question about that last week.
I have a lot of questions about that. Let's hear them out. Okay. Let's hear them out, and we'll see if we still have questions. So he says, we'll have to see. We'll have to hear him out, and then we'll see. Meaning, on the surface here, there's a lot that has to be added. But I want, before we add our questions and answers, let's first hear him. He says, other lands, everyone knew, were under specific constellations. And that's the idea that the Talmud says that he who lives in Chutz Laretz, it's like he doesn't have a god, because the other lands are under the dominion of different angels and different constellations. And so the other lands have to be in sync with their nature or their spiritual nature. But in the land of Israel, we're directly under Hashem. There is no angel that's watching over us. The idea here is that we have a direct link, so to speak. And here in Israel, there's just us and Hashem. And Am Yisrael were aware of that. So in Chutz Laretz, there was more of an inclination to be attracted to the way of those nations, because the way of those nations was, although it was pagan, it was an attempt to be in sync with the forces that run those lands. Okay, I'll expand a little bit. I think this run can be better understood based on the Ramban about the Chet HaEgel. The Ramban says that the sin of the golden calf was really an attempt to tap into a certain force which exists, meaning when the Navi Ezekiel describes the faces of the angels in God's chariot, so he describes the face of the north as the face of the calf. And the north is always a reference. Tzafon comes from the word tzafun. Tzafon comes from the word hidden. And the calf is a representation of the force of desolation. Meaning the force that God leaves, so to speak, this angel in charge of desolate places. So when they realized that they don't have Moshe, or they thought that they don't have Moshe anymore, they wanted to tap into this force that they were aware of, Kabbalistically, they were aware of spiritually, is left in charge of areas like the desert. Meaning there was an element of truth in the direction they were headed. There was an element of wanting to connect to Hashem through the angels that Hashem left in charge of this area. So the Ran is saying they had an awareness of the different forces at play here, that Hashem does give certain angels responsibility, this angel over Persia and Mede, and this angel over Babylon, and this angel over Edom. We know that different nations have their angels. And then there's a greater tendency to try and tap into those forces. The Ran is teaching us about a different type of idol worship than we're accustomed to. When we think about the Jewish people serving idols, so we think they started thinking, okay, let me worship Zeus, he runs the show here. No, the Rishonim very often show us that to them it was obvious, they mention it in passing, that even when Am Yisrael served idols, they were aware Hashem was running the show. It wasn't that they forgot suddenly everything that happened in Mitzrayim and everything else. It was rather an attempt to connect to forces, the spiritual forces, godly forces. We find in Chazal that they knew how to speak to different angels that were responsible for different elements of nature. They could talk to the angel that's responsible for fire. Now you understand that the limit between that and idol worship is not so far. On the one hand, they were correct. They knew how to tap into certain forces that God created in the world. On the other hand, they started worshiping them. And the Navi describes that they were at a point where they weren't worried about the destruction. They said, we'll just tap into the force of fire and we'll fight them with that. We'll tap into the force of water, we'll fight them with that. And what does the Navi say? The Navi doesn't say they were ridiculous. The Navi says Hashem warned them it's not going to work. And when it came time, Hashem changed the names of all the angels. He suddenly made this angel in charge of that, that angel in charge of this, so that they wouldn't be able to tap into the forces. So the Chazal give us an understanding here that there was something right about what they were doing. Meaning they weren't totally off their rocker in their idol worship. It's incorrect to worship these forces, but it's also incorrect to say there were no forces at play here. Yeah.
But it seems like in Isaiah, though, that Hashem does ridicule. He talks about someone who cuts down a tree, takes half of it.
An excellent question.
An idol, and the other half he burns. He then starts a fire, and he bakes some bread, and he takes it opposite to the other half of the tree. He says, you're my God, and you know, it's offering for you. He probably mocks people who worship
idols. Granted, think about it, and if it bothers you, if it still bothers you, if you really think that's contradiction to what we said, then we'll come back to it.
May I ask one question?
Yeah?
Are you saying there's different ways to
We could answer that way, or we could answer that that's not, that the two things we're saying are not mutually exclusive. Meaning if they used this tree that was shaped in a certain form as a way of tapping into a force, but at the end of the day bowed down to the tree, so Hashem saying, what are you doing bowing down to the tree? At the end of the day, what you're doing is ridiculous. You could tap into a force. Okay, you could
so
tap into
a force. There's not that as a force would be a little bit less ridiculous. I mean, not
so that's the area which we left a little bit untouched in when we learned the Ramban, because you understand where we're playing with fire here. Meaning, when is it idol worship and when is it okay? The Ramban can play with fire. We can't play with fire. So I can only say what it says. To start stipulating, okay, when is this idol worship? When isn't it idol worship? Well, that's beyond me. I can only say what they say. So that we have to see word by word in the Ramban. And we were left with certain questions. We'll get back to it. It's the Ramban that we're learning here. It's the Ramban on the Torah, but it's also in Toat Hashem Tmimah. Yeah. Oh, so
wasn't it mostly Baal worship? Unless Baal is supposed to represent an angel, which I don't think it was.
We discussed this and we'll discuss it again, but that's the question which I thought was bothering you. So let's wait. But I started answering it. Let's just hold off, hear out the Ran, and then we'll see if we're still as bothered. Mitzoraf, add to this, furthermore, שיותר ראוי שיהיו דבקים בשם הנכבד בארץ הקדושה מבחוץ על הארץ, it is more fitting that they connect to Hashem in the holy land than in חוץ לארץ. וגם כי ראוי לחוש בין יסיגם הכיליון ואמרותם דבר השם יתברך יותר במדבר מבארץ ישראל. So there are two points. One is, in the land of Israel, it's easier, so to speak, to connect to Hashem. There'll be more capacity for them to connect. And two is that v'gam kira. And two is that when they're out in the desert, there's a greater threat of annihilation when they sin, more than in the land of Israel. Mitzad hayotama. Because they're standing in a place that's a dangerous place. Meaning, if a guy sins and he's evil Knievel. I remember when I was a kid, there was a guy who took his motorcycle and here in Israel. And on Yom Kippur, he did this thing to go from to cross a chasm in between two hills. And he didn't make it and he died. And his friends, who were not religious, but they looked and they said, what kind of idiocy is this? On Yom Kippur, he tests his luck? Meaning they had a hard time with what he did. So there's a difference between a person who's Mechalel Yom Kippur, but he's sitting at home and he turns on the TV, and the guy who's Mechalel Yom Kippur and he's in the air over the chasm, and it's a question of will he make it or won't he make it, right? So Am Yisrael is in the air. When they're out in the desert, they're in the air. And so there's a greater danger then when they sin than if they're inhabited in the land of Israel. And even if they have to be punished, it's not like they're in a situation where Hashem has to save them every day from annihilation. Out in the desert every day we are. Hashem is making miracles to keep us going. So there's a greater danger. There, Hashem says, I can't be in your midst because if you guys are going to sin, so you're a footstep away from death. The desert is a place of nachash, saraf, v'akrav, different types of snakes, scorpions, v'tzimon asher en mayim. It's an arid place. There is no water. V'amakom alul sham yoter lekabel hakilyon mishar hamakomot. So that's a place that's more likely to annihilate than another place. Not like those people who consider themselves pious. They say, Hashem controls everything. What do you mean? Hashem can make you live everywhere and Hashem can make you die everywhere. There's no difference before Hashem. He says, that's not right. That's not the way the world works. It just doesn't work that way. It's true Hashem has capacity to do everything. But as far as the way Hashem runs the world, it's not that way. But the way Hashem created nature is that sheyum kumot asakana yoter kovim lefsed misham kumot, that there are places that are more dangerous than others. You can't ignore the facts you're facing. A guy can't say, well, I'm going to the army and there are bullets whizzing past my ear and either I live or die, but Hashem controls every second and there's no difference between if I was sitting at home or I'm here. I will die when I'm supposed to and I'll live when I'm supposed to. No, Hashem did not create the world that way. Hashem created the world that there are danger zones, and in danger zones a person is more likely to die, and in non-danger zones a person is less likely to die. Hashem controls the world, right, but Hashem doesn't interfere necessarily. Chazal tell us, this isn't his own invention. Because if the person is in a situation where his life is threatened, then so to speak, Hashem has to consistently save him. And sometimes Hashem doesn't consistently get in the way to save him. The Azveu Limikazman, and sometimes Hashem says, well, we'll leave it up to nature. We think that Hashem is always getting involved in everything that happens. Yes, there are midrashim that discuss. You hit your finger when you're banging a nail, so you should know Hashem wanted you to hit your finger, if you're on the level. The Ran is saying Hashem doesn't always interfere and watch every move of every person. Sometimes Hashem says, we'll leave it up to you. Even David HaMelech. Why is David HaMelech always run? He hears that King Saul wants to kill him, but God told him he's going to be king. So let him sit back and let God run the show. What's he running for? David spends half his life running because all our sages knew this principle that Hashem, although Hashem already promised David, he is the future of the Jewish people. He is the Mashiach. He is everything. But it's up to him to make it so. And he cannot rely on Hashem to do his end. Sometimes Hashem says, if you do yours, I'll do mine. And that's what happened with David. It reached a point where David made an error. Shaul was chasing him. He went to cross a mountain and Shaul didn't continue the chase. Shaul spread out his troops around the mountain instead of crossing over the mountain, and David was caught on top. So at that point, Shaul starts closing in on David. And Hashem sends an angel, suddenly gives Shaul word that there's an attack from the Philistines and he has to come back or he'll lose the country. David did his whole life, and then when it came a point where he couldn't do any more, so Hashem entered the picture. But David had to do his end of the deal. And people are in error. He said they think they're being extra pious when they say Hashem runs everything and everything's the same. It's not true. When a person is in a situation where his life is threatened, so he needs constant Ashgacha, he needs to be worthy of constant Ashgacha, that Hashem should keep him alive. Because Hashem said, I created a nature of the world. You walk, there are bullets whizzing by, well, whether you'll make it or not, well, will you be deserving that I'll keep watching you that you should make it?
What about not stubbing?
Just one second, a lot of guys had questions beforehand. Yeah.
In Breslov literature, it speaks like very intensely.
Okay, I don't know about Breslov literature.
So another thing then. I'm saying, it seems like...
I knew you'd come back at me with Gana Emuna. Yeah.
No, I'm saying that... Just in general, the whole idea is that, like, I'll just go to a separate thing, is that there's always the statement that, like, if Hashem wants me to die there, right, that, you know, I could also die here, right?
We don't say that. We just said we don't say that.
This is my question is, this is a false statement. Just like, this is a false statement.
Correct.
Okay.
We've said this in many classes. I keep repeating this point. Now you see it in the Ran. I think they're misunderstanding even things of Breslov, I think, are being misquoted and misunderstood.
Okay.
throughout the Rishonim, you see, not like that.
This is the infamous, like, is this like the infamous, like, Breslov, like, idea that, like, is...
I think people are misunderstanding the Breslov ideas.
Okay.
I think so, but, you know, maybe the Breslovers will say, I'm misunderstanding the Breslov ideas.
So will we go to get more clarification on the Breslov ideas then?
I don't know.
I don't know who to go
to. I'll tell you.
Okay, thank you.
What about not so like stubbing your toe unless it's been decreed from heaven?
So that's what I said. Maybe
something is insignificant to stubbing.
So we said maybe that's right. Chazal very often didn't quantify what they said, and they left it to us to see. Okay.
You opened up a lot there. Thank you.
We have 3 minutes left the class. Let's just finish this. But in a nutshell, Chazal taught us a rule. The words of Torah are poor in one place and wealthy somewhere else. Meaning, sometimes you learn one line and you can't understand it until you see 15 other lines in 15 other sources. So you're right, there is that one line, but maybe that one line is talking about people on a certain level. Maybe that one line is talking about the way I should perceive it, that I have to take that into account. Or maybe there are machlokes rishonim as to how to understand this, and we're learning one rishon, so let's stick to this rishon. So if a person, for 1 second, Hashem leaves his hashgacha of that person, yasigenu ara, then a bad thing could happen. And whereas if a person is just sitting at home, he doesn't need Hashem to constantly watch him and protect him in order for him to stay alive. So you can't compare the two situations. Mikol zeh, he says, bottom line, everything we just explained was to explain one idea, that when they're out in the desert, there's more concern than when they're sitting in the land of Israel for annihilation, and therefore, in ra'uy lefached sham aleim kokach. In the land of Israel, God, so to speak, did not have to be as concerned for their annihilation, and that's why Hashem said, I could be in your midst in the land of Israel, whereas I cannot be in your midst when you're out in the desert. And out in the desert, it is a danger for me to be so close to you.
You're saying this must be bad.